special request. I've been asked by many, one person, Dustin, to put on Glory Glory Man United. We are point of order. We are people saying weird things.
Good day.
On the radio.
Yes.
I'm Joe Sonnenblick.
I'm Jason Bogdan.
And I'm Steve McGrath.
And Linda on stats. We got special guest Justin in the room with us today.
Justin from Orlando.
Justin from Orlando, so I guess that's good.
We're spreading across the world.
Yep. We're doing well. We're doing good things. Skype is on 718-395-3731 if you want to call in the NBA.
Oh, the NBA. I guess that was a cue over to us.
Yeah. Well, I have some Facebook messages here from Mr.
Warriors,
Joe Sonnenblick.
Yes.
Come out. He was very drunk.
No. This was for when they won game four and it was like 3-1 or whatever. So I have to pull it up. I'm sorry.
Come on, Edward R. Murrow, Facebook. Yes. Let's see.
The Warriors are frauds. They are in their own heads. Young minded fellers that now can't get out of their own way. Hype machine got too big. You should be eating a lot of fucking crow right now, Joe. Okay?
Here's the thing. Series is tied, right? So nothing is decided yet.
No.
But you have to think the Thunder are on the ropes. On the ropes big time.
I'll say it, and I don't care. The Thunder lost that game. The Warriors did not win it. The Thunder had an 8-point lead with 5 minutes to go, and the Thunder took really, really, really bad shots. They did not drive to the hoop as they were doing in the entire series because the calls were going their way. The calls were moving their way. And to me, the biggest thing you had to stop was Draymond Green. That's it. Let Steph and Klay shoot. Let them shoot. Klay went out of his mind last night. Steph Curry did not. Okay.
He was not the MVP.
He was not the MVP last night.
Yeah, but he sealed the deal.
But here's
with an
the thing:
MVP
what I knew that Joe's response to this was going to be: the Thunder lost, not the Warriors.
That's such
won. A but here's
cop out answer.
But it is.
That's
but
fine.
But here's some interesting stats.
The Warriors are going to be
right.
A cop out team come
right.
Game seven.
All right, OKC in the final 5 minutes. Here's some interesting stats.
Tell me, man.
OKC in the last 5 minutes held a 7-point lead. Yet they committed 6 turnovers,
okay.
And they were outscored 19-5
in the last 5 minutes.
In the last 5 minutes,
exactly.
So you don't win ball.
You
games
don't. The ball game is always decided in the last 5 minutes, whether it be football or basketball. We know baseball is never decided in 5 minutes.
Well, we'll
talk about that in a second. If you watched the Met game last night,
five seconds to make a decision on that one. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's NBA.
Yeah, let's keep it with the NBA. See, my thing was Billy Donovan. Just call timeout. Use your timeouts. He didn't use any timeouts in the last 5 minutes, really. I think he called 2 timeouts. You have to use. Don't let a team that lives on momentum get momentum.
I think he felt that he still had the momentum. You're at home. It's game. You know.
You have it.
Clearly,
every single shot that the Thunder made, Warriors countered it.
Yeah.
And they kept coming.
Yeah.
And they kept. They were down 15 points. And then by half, they were down by like 6.
And again, the way they beat the Thunder was the way they were beating teams all season. Just three guys. Iguodala didn't matter.
Iguodala shuts people down.
Kevin Durant had like 45 points.
It doesn't matter. It's the same. It's the reverse too. Who else is getting the points on Thunder? You're saying that the Warriors win the same way, you know, like the three guys. Who else in the Thunder gets there?
I think you're overlooking maybe one of the best bench players in basketball, in Andre Roberson. That man is one of the – what do you have, 15 points last night off the bench?
Well, he's
a starter. He's on the –
Well, what do we got for points last night?
Roberson played –
or am I thinking of Dion Waiters?
Dion Waiters sucks.
I wouldn't say
he sucks.
He's not great.
Yeah. There's a reason why he's not starting.
Well,
went 1-for-5 yesterday.
Roberson?
Deion Waiters. Roberson went 5-for-5, played 29 minutes, 11 points.
Okay.
With 8 rebounds, no assists, and 5 fouls.
Okay. Andre Roberson is an underrated player. In my humble opinion, I believe the man.
I've never known you to have a humble opinion.
You never knew that? You never knew that? But my question I pose to everybody in this room at the moment is, if the Thunder still had James Harden, would they win?
Yeah.
What do you think, Steve? I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it can go either way.
It could go either because he's a defensive liability.
And he's going to – the reason why they got rid of him is because Durant wants his shots. Westbrook wants his shots. Now Harden wants his shots. So if he – obviously wants to
Can
start
Can you give
him.
Me the Remember? Stats on Westbrook and Durant's shot totals?
Yes. Kevin Durant went 10 for 31 yesterday with 29 points.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook – now, he played for 45 minutes.
Yes.
Westbrook played 44 minutes, went 10 for 27 with 28 points.
Okay.
So, basically, what happens is the reason why they lost is because they went back to one-on-one basketball.
Right. No, and there's an interesting stat that they lost most of their games when those two guys are taking 50 shots or more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an interesting stat.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. In game sevens, home teams historically are 124.
Mm.
100 wins and 24 losses.
Listen.
It's just
what it is.
Does it mean anything?
Yes, it does. Maybe it means a lot. Yes, it does. Of course it does. See You Monday shit they were chanting.
Yeah. When Steph did
threw up a seven. That's fine. That's good. I do believe that. If the Thunders do what they did last night against the Warriors, they're going to get blown out by 30 at Golden State. If they go back to the small ball, if they move the small ball around, I think it'll be closer. I think the Thunder can win, but do they have it? Because this could be Kevin Durant's last game as an Oklahoma City Thunder.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
He's got a good thing going on here, but the thing that it always has made or broken the Thunder is Westbrook. Now, you said that he's an MVP. He can play like an MVP, no problem, but he will shoot you out of a game.
Yes.
He will shoot you out of the game, and you will lose, and that is the reason why they've lost five straight years with two superstars on a team.
I understand what you're saying.
He should have been in more finals.
Game five, he came back to Earth big time.
I also feel that way about Steph Curry. Steph Curry can shoot you out of a game. He did it in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but
he went 9 for 22, which is not great, but he went 6 for 13 on the threes.
Boy, if Ryan Fitzpatrick went 9 for 22, we'd be going crazy. Yeah.
Let's say Golden State wins this.
Yeah.
Are they going to beat the Cavs?
Now,
I've taken Golden State. I would make the Cavs pick all the way. I gotta say, the Cavs.
Cavs have really shown me something.
Cavs lately,
are real,
so.
And it's a game you want to see because it's a rematch of last year at full strength.
But I want to see the Thunder and the Cavs. There's something about that because you know Durant and LeBron have never played each other in the playoffs.
In the finals, they lost.
Oh right, 2 years ago.
It was four years ago when the Thunder. It was
the Heat.
The when he was on the Heat, it was his first title, and they got blown out in that series.
Break. Weren't the Knicks very bad that year? Is that why I didn't watch 4 years ago?
Yeah. No, that was I think.
No. 5 years was the last time we were in the playoffs, right?
No, I mean
Or was that the year we got swept by the Celtics?
No. Yeah, no, we got swept by somebody, but I think it was the year we got. Or it was like 1 year after we got
Mello. Are you awake? 718-395-3731.
It was the year after Mello. So like Mello got us to the playoffs the first 2 years that he was on the team. Oh. So we think we made it, but we never went past the first round.
I forgot to text you fellas, but we were on West Broadway and I saw David Lee on the street.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I didn't get to say anything, which is sad.
Tell him to come home.
I want that guy back so bad.
We followed him for blocks.
But I couldn't catch up to him. He walks very fast. That man walks very fast.
I guess that's why he's in the NBA.
Yeah. So now that we've discussed for 10 minutes why Joe is probably wrong.
Well, let's not forget we got money on the line.
We got money on the line. That's what makes this more salty.
Right. But $50 ahead on the line.
I don't want to like come out like some sort of Nostradamus. I was betting the favorite. Yeah. Like I'm not saying that I'm just thought of all this and oh yeah they're going to win again. But it's just like yeah, of course they won the championship. They won 73 games.
Yep.
So I mean I'm not a bandwagoner. It's just I'm betting the favorite. Like Bogdan did when he won the $45 that time.
Okay, now let's switch gears and let's actually go to your Nostradamus prediction of Matt Harvey throwing seven innings, eight strikeouts, I think it was.
This man waited all week. He said he'd give up two runs is what you said.
Yep.
Matt Harvey sucks.
There's something wrong with him.
No. I know what it is. He sucks.
I know. He's in the wrong profession.
He should be serving hot dogs. You understand? He shouldn't be eating them. He should be serving them. The guy's got real problems, and the fact that we're not skipping him again, I don't under. What do you think is he's going to figure out in a simulated game of 65 pitches? So you're playing a video game with the guy?
Well, and he's also throwing against Matt Reynolds, the Rene Rivera. I mean,
come on.
You gotta send him to the minors. You can't just cut the guy.
No, not cut him. I think you gotta start exploring possible trades. Just look at it.
Yeah.
The Mets have won, 20 games this year? He lost seven of them.
Oh, they've lost 20 games.
Yeah. He lost seven of them.
Yeah, he's been awful. Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be tied for second or third most losses in baseball.
Yep.
His ERA's got to be among the highest.
North of five.
So I thought it was over six. Six. Yeah. 6.08, I thought it was.
Yeah, it's pretty high. I mean, honestly, you have to do the emotional sort of reality check. You know, you have to be like, okay, he had a couple bad games, things like that. But but I'm saying now it's getting to the point where he is now being he's a detriment. Like it's like maybe it's the workload that he did last year, maybe all this because Strasburg had a similar struggle last year.
But you're telling me 20 innings did this guy in? An extra 20 innings did this guy in?
I don't know. Honestly, with 2 years before that, he's been an all-star. He started an all-star game.
I remember
something is amiss. And initially I was like, oh, bring him down AAA. Then I was like, don't bring him down AAA. But now I'm back.
Dan Worthen's supposed to be this, like, dog whisperer for pitchers.
And now he won't even answer
questions. You might have to euthanize this dog. You understand? This is garbage.
But look at the great pitchers that have gone down to AAA and refound themselves.
Bill Pulsifer.
Steve Traxel.
Steve Traxel
came back.
One of the fine pitchers.
Steve Traxel went down and became a great number four starter.
Would that be Bobby J. Jones or Bobby M. Jones? Which Jones went down and became good again?
Look, he's got to go. He's got to get off the team quite yet. But he's got to go down to the minors. The problem is, here's what happens. He goes down to AAA, and he gets shelled in AAA.
It's Vegas. Yeah. It's also Vegas. The air is dry.
What happens if he gets shelled?
Noah was getting shelled in Vegas for a little while.
Yeah, I was telling Steve this. They said Harvey was the same way when he came up, and they said they were bored. That they were ready for the major leagues.
He's been in the major leagues. So.
I'm bored. Bored.
I'm just saying that Syndergaard, that was the theory, that he was just bored down there and needed to come up. And obviously,
okay, and that's fine. Yeah. That's a fine theory, and it worked out. Thank God that worked out. But the fact that Matt Harvey, first of all, he bolts after the game, doesn't talk to the media.
Insane.
David Wright put him in his place.
He did.
So I don't understand that. That was a mistake on his part.
Yeah.
He had to apologize for Matt Harvey.
Yeah. See, I have defended him for long enough now.
I have not.
He really is. He really is just a prick.
He's a prick. He's a really bitch. He's a scumbag. He doesn't make any sense.
But honestly,
I don't know what's going on. Neither do I. I don't know what's going on.
What do you... But in reality... But
you sit there and what you talk.
What do you want to hear from him? You're either going to get excuses or apologies.
Tell me you're bad. Just tell me I'm bad.
Stand in front of your locker and go, I stink.
Yeah. Guys have done it for 40 years.
Well, Strawberry last night said something I thought was really interesting. It was 86.
Which, if you watch the beginning of that game and didn't cry, you don't have a heart.
Yeah, Gary Carter.
That was some tough cookies.
But Strawberry said that this team may need to go out and get into a couple of fights in the bars to see who they really are.
Exactly. See, and that's why it's a shame we didn't get to see this, the 86 Mets. It's a real shame we didn't get to grow up with them. I mean, I have the 2000 Mets. I have
the 99.
The 99 Mets. They were a tough, scrappy team. Yep. 2006 Mets, they weren't a tough team.
No.
They were
talented, but not tough.
Yeah. But if you go back to that style of baseball, if you see what's happening in that style of baseball, teams, that was what happened with Rougned Odor and Jose Bautista happened 3 days a week in old school baseball.
Well, I think Ron Darling was telling a story that the Mets played a game, somebody got plunked. They came out. Everybody threw haymakers. The benches cleared. Umpires cleared them off field. Nobody even got ejected from the game. They just picked up where they left off.
Dwight Gooden told a story as well yesterday where... Ozzie Smith. Ozzie Smith slid into second hard. I think it was Backman or Knight. And Dwight Gooden went up to Backman and said, do you want me to plunk him in the ribs?
Nice.
And Backman said, no, I'll just break his leg on the next play. Mm. I mean, this is the type of baseball that you need. And the PC political correctness of baseball showed itself again last night when an umpire who just got out of
rookie
his crib, it looked like.
Rookie umpire.
I don't know. Yep. What was his name? Adam Molina? Uncle Molina?
Alfred Molina?
Who was it? Who did this to us? So you warn the benches before the game starts, okay?
He didn't warn the benches. No.
Well, I mean,
he didn't warn the benches.
What is this?
What's the point of warning the benches? They've already played each other.
You cannot warn the benches. You cannot warn a bench for something that happened seven months ago.
But the umpires said that they did that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They said they warned the benches, or they talked to them at least.
Yeah, they said
you
that
can't
they
do that.
That's what I read on Twitter from one of like the beat writers that there was like a.
I just don't get it. It happened 8 months ago.
You break my former shortstop's leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who may be your current shortstop? Who's out there?
Who's coming? Anyway. I think you might take a flyer on Ruben Tejada again if you don't know the Cardinals did release him. He's hitting like 0.85 or something terrible. Like, I think that trade fucked him up, or moving over that fucked him up. But I digress. Syndergaard throws behind Utley on pitch 34 of the game, top of the third.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, top of the third, and no warning. Syndergaard just gets thrown out, and I've never seen Terry Collins I clapped.
Yeah.
I cried. It was like an emotional film I watched.
Yeah.
He was seething. He kept calling the guy a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You piece of shit. He was bumping his chest. He was getting in there with the Earl Weaver.
Yeah, and he went around all the other umpires
to come back at him. It was like an episode of Jerry Springer. It was great.
We didn't even have to use the line. Get out there, Tara. Tara was.
Oh no, he was out there. And the after. After an interview.
I didn't see it.
Was he going nuts?
It was classic.
He was salty.
So they asked him a question, like, right? And he said he literally is licking his lips. He puts his tongue in the corner of his mouth. And, you know, were you upset? Yes. And it was just like, he wanted to
go. Do you think it's similar to the when you guys threw at him at this like particular game? He's like, don't understand the question.
Terry's got a point.
Look,
you're changing. We would have won that game.
And they also were changing the field, too.
Yeah.
They wanted like to
mark the field for defense.
With lasers, right?
They wanted to do like a Brazilian on the
laser beams.
Brazilian on the goddamn field.
But you know, they carry cards in their back pockets for their defensive positioning.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, it is allowed. I've never seen that before.
Flash cards for defensive positioning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why don't you just remember it? It's not that hard.
Puig keeps one on his forehead.
Yeah. Like Karnak.
I'm
a rabbit.
One of the coolest moments, I think I sent this to you.
Yeah,
Puig
it was
at
very
the Statue
cool.
of Liberty.
It was very cool.
I happened to be a little Dodgers fan there.
I showed Linda.
Puig.
I liked that very much.
Puig stopped and took a picture with him. But yeah, no doubt the Mets probably would have won that game last night. But you got to give credit to Logan Verrett. Though he ended up getting blown up, he did a hell of a job in the short term.
He wasn't prepared.
Yeah, he had
to start a full game.
Cold.
I'm not even prepared.
Yeah, he just had to come in cold.
Some Yaz flute.
But the thing that kills me is that it was all Utley all night.
Yeah.
That scum.
Yeah,
doesn't
like
move.
Four RBIs or something like that.
Six.
Two home runs.
I think six.
Two home
or
runs.
Five. He had the grand slam and a solo shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five RBIs. And that whoever pitched that, I think it was Robles at the end.
I don't know.
That was a lollipop throw.
But this is nothing new. Utley has always.
He's an owner.
Mets.
He's an owner.
Yeah,
he's part owner of the New York Mets.
Somebody last night went online after a second home run and edited the Mets Wikipedia page and made Chase Utley the owner.
Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. This is, I think it was his 55th home run against us.
Are we on with the call in?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's calling in. I can't do anything about that. 718-395-3731. If you're listening, call in. If you're not listening, go fuck yourself. But anyway,
call in before you go fuck yourself,
and we can talk about certain things.
I guess speaking of the Mets, Noah Syndergaard. What do you think? Do you think that was the right decision to do to throw behind him?
No, you throw at his face.
Yeah. Well, I think he tried. I think he Sean Estes did.
Really?
Yeah, I think he missed him. I do.
I think he did it. You know, Noah is such a pinpoint pitcher.
I know
that. I think he did it on purpose. I really do, because the way Noah threw that ball. Noah didn't even move. Like I think he felt like, listen, Utley, I'm not gonna bean you. This is your warning.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna bean
you.
But if you try this shit again, the next one's gonna break three ribs.
And what people don't realize is it just builds his legend even more.
Yeah.
Like, remember when he threw an Alcides Escobar to lead off?
They can meet me 60 feet 6 inches.
One of the greatest quotes ever in baseball.
That's almost as good as "Can't wait."
Yeah.
"Can't wait" is the greatest sports quote ever.
Maybe the greatest play of his career.
Maybe the greatest play of his career.
Can't even stop a nosebleed.
Does that guy want more money from us, Bart Scott? Are we still paying him? There's something.
No. He's good.
But there's something with him.
He's just in the news for something.
There's something with him. I think we're paying him somewhere.
Got the Bobby Bonilla?
Yeah.
No. They don't do that in football. So we cut him at the right time, and that's, you know, he's getting his money from the NFL. Like, what was it ESPN that he works for now? Or
speaking of people not getting money from the NFL, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. I mean,
$12 million for the first year in that deal, right?
I told him, sign the deal. Yeah. What are you gonna do? What can you do with this guy? I don't want him at this point. Mm-hmm. Because if you're strong arming us for $1 million?
No, he wants $4 million.
I know what he wants, but we went from 8 to 10 to 12. Be happy.
I think we always they said that he initially was offered this $12 million deal. Like, this was not, we're not we gave him the number, put it on the table, and we're like, if you can find a better deal, go take it. And then we've left it for months. And they said we haven't done anything at all. I'm not taking that money. He's probably got nothing past the $12 million this year. That's probably what he's thinking.
Listen, and they're saying that Geno Smith has made strides, and I understand. But what are they? Wait, what if he hasn't made strides?
They're saying he's made strides. You see who he's throwing to?
Yes.
He's not throwing. He's not throwing any wide receivers.
It's OTAs, but you know what?
Yeah, but
what's the reverse? He's throwing interceptions in OTAs, and then all of a sudden you're shitting on him.
You're right.
You know, you have
you're
to.
Right.
Like,
but what are they going to? But also, what are they going to say? Oh, he's bad. We can't use him. They have to say he's good.
No, but the media was there. It was an open media thing, and they saw it, and they were like, "Oh, he's obviously better than Hackenberg. He's obviously better than Bryce Petty." Like, I mean, it was the second day of OTAs.
A guy came into my work the other day, and he was an Eagles fan, and we were talking about Sam Bradford, and I told him I was a Jets fan, and he's a Penn State guy.
Right.
He told me, "You wait 3 years for Christian Hackenberg. He said it's going to take 3 years." But the kid can play football. I don't watch Penn State. I don't care. I don't know. I'm just going off a guy that watched. He went to Happy. He went to the games.
You like Hackenberg, right?
No,
no. We don't like Hackenberg.
No.
Steve was a Hackenberg.
No.
We don't like Hackenberg.
I saw that pick. My heart dropped. I was just like, oh, Jesus.
But
3 years he'll be serving hot dogs.
He's not going to start. Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to play. I mean, I still want to see Bryce Petty. I would like to just see.
I don't know. When he's learning defenses like us in Madden, you get a little frightened.
Okay.
Just like, oh, I've learned so much and blah, blah, blah. And now I can recognize stuff in Madden now. And I'm like, oh,
is that what he said?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. He's like, when I'm playing Madden, I'm like, oh, that's an under defense. I mean, which is like one of the most basic defenses.
Who said this? Bryce Petty?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh, God.
All right. Get me Bubby Brister back here. Oh, my Lord. I didn't hear that quote.
Yeah.
I don't even play Madden anymore. I didn't even hear that fucking quote.
He's just like, like, I guess he was like trying to name an example, but that's not an example you want to name.
Oh, my God.
The law offices of Petty and Hackenberg.
Yeah.
they'll be a detective agency pretty soon.
Oh, my father talked
Please
about...
Please let him call in.
I don't think he's listening.
Oh, God.
My father talked about the Odd Couple, the lawyers, and I forget the name.
Oh,
Divorce,
the Odd
Broken
Couple
Sloppy.
Or the... All in the Families.
All in the Family, yeah. He reminded me of the name. Rabinowitz and Rubinowitz. That's what it was.
That's what it is, yeah.
That's what it was.
And they send him, on that episode, they send him, I think, an Italian lawyer.
Yeah.
And Archie goes, can you go back and send me a Jew, please? Yeah,
so All in the Family. You got to watch All in the Family, you young folks out there.
Was it from the 70s?
70s. That was a good show.
A lot of good stuff on there.
Damn good show. All right, let's get to the New York Knicks because we got to get. I guess we have to talk about that disenfranchised franchise. They have a plan for the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Bring the dip over.
Are they going to buy a second round pick? Is that the plan?
I don't know what they're going to
do. What are they going to trade in for?
I don't know what they're going to do. What could they even trade? Who could you trade?
I have a good undergrad.
You move Galloway?
They are freezing envelopes as we speak.
Yeah. You're going to move Galloway? What are you going to get for him?
Nothing.
You're going to move Grant? What are you going to get for him?
Nothing.
A stripper.
No, that was early.
Early.
It's not NBA 2K. You can't get Budinger over here. you could get Budinger over here, maybe. I just don't understand what they're doing. Because Phil's got a plan.
You can only do something through free agency.
And I'm not mad at Jeff Hornacek. I'm not mad at that signing because it could be good.
It's not official yet, right?
It's official.
It's official. When did it become official?
A couple days ago.
Oh.
No, he's definitely...
We're still working out turns.
No, it could be good.
Well, the terms are, you know, like
it could be good. I mean, he develops young players well. I from what I saw in Phoenix, I mean, the guy won 48 games, 49 games in Phoenix with garbage, with poopy, as Steve would say. But something I do want to say, good luck to the Houston Rockets for signing Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I saw that.
Yo, James Harden.
He's got something on the NBA, man.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of blackmail material.
Yeah,
on
he knows that
Adam
Silver drugs somebody or
he
raped
wears
somebody.
Full body cat suits and whips and all
that. Yeah, he's one of those guys who, like, you don't even look at his resume when he comes in the room. Oh, and Mr. D'Antoni.
And you know he's bringing Brother Dan with him. Brother Dan will be the assistant head coach of the Houston Rockets. It only take 2 years. The Rockets will have the second overall pick in the NBA draft.
You don't miss seeing D'Antoni stand on the sidelines at Knicks games in that suit looking like he shit his pants with his arms folded.
And he always said, what kind of accent is that? It's like Texas, Italian, and South African all mixed together.
He's like Leo from Blood Diamonds.
Yeah, I never understood his accent.
That's why he gets jobs. Yeah. I'll kill you. Tell the truth.
Is that Will Smith again? Wow, it's just like having him in the studio. I'm telling you, Will Smith is here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I was watching His and Hers, which is my favorite show on the ESPN canon of garbage.
Mm-hmm. I have a crush on her.
Yeah, she's very, very pretty. Jemele Hill, we're all talking about. Michael Smith said Mike D'Antoni got a raw deal in New York and L.A. What? No, we got a raw deal. I remember watching him. I remember
he had
it, 3 years.
He had some talent to work with.
Yeah, it was when Stoudemire was at his apex before he went down.
Right.
He had Carmelo.
Yep.
He had Chauncey Billups.
At the end. At the very end.
Chauncey was still good.
Jason Kidd, right?
No. Jason Kidd, it was on Mike Woodson. Was on that team.
Mike Woodson had some talent.
Mike Woodson produced, Mike Woodson did produce.
And you let the man
go.
He's an assistant coach somewhere, right? Mike Woodson? Clippers, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. He deserves to be an NBA coach.
You talk about a raw deal. Mike Woodson did get a raw deal from us.
And then you went and hired D'Antoni. And what'd you do with that?
No. Is that the order it went in?
Yeah. No, it was D'Antoni. Then Woodson replaced him.
Right.
And then we signed him to an extension because he did pretty well with the replacement.
And then he did pretty well, and then we fired him.
No, he lost 50 games. Right?
Yeah, they went 32 and 50,
I think.
It was the same
like
year we could have traded Shumpert for Lowry. That was the year he got.
Listen, I understand how bad we wanted Kyle Lowry at the time. Kyle Lowry is the same way you just described Russell Westbrook. Can win you games, but will automatically shoot you out of games.
Are you telling me you wouldn't want him?
Well, I'll take him over
right now. Lowry,
Melo,
Porzingis, Lopez. At least that would have been a six seed.
That's a playoff team.
At least.
That's a playoff team, definitely. I want to go after Joakim Noah as a backup. As a backup center.
He might not want that.
As a backup center? No, he's not starting anywhere else. Where the fuck is he going to start?
It's not about it's where he thinks he could start. I think he thinks he's still a starter. He's gonna get big money.
No, he's not.
No, he really fell off the last two years.
I don't think he's going
to
get big
money. How much
are you
going to give a backup center?
$7 million a year? $6 million a year? In that area?
We're paying Robin Lopez $13 million.
But Robin Lopez. Here's a phone call. It's Daddy.
Ronaldo the Great.
Daddy.
Ron Bunn.
Yeah, I want to talk about that pitch Noah Syndergaard threw. I know I'm a little late, and I know you passed that, but there's a lot of things to say. I have a lot of things to say about that.
Sam.
That bullshit nonsense. Okay. Let me just tell you something about Major League Baseball, because that game, that incident, had Joe Torre's underwear stink all over. And I'll tell you why. A, if you go into that game, okay, because it's the 86 Mets and everything that comes along with it, okay?
Yeah.
And Noah Syndergaard pitching, you're looking forward to seeing Noah Syndergaard pitch and throw 100 million miles an hour.
Right.
Okay? And then you have a rookie umpire back there. And I don't care if they warned them before or whatever they did. If you're warning them before, I am sure that's gone on a million times where they've warned both benches before. I am sure that's gone on, okay? Here's the question. If you would ask this umpire, son, what would you do if Noah Syndergaard throws behind Chase Utley? What are you going to say? I'm going to warn him or I'm going to immediately eject him, okay?
Right.
He's been in baseball for fucking 3 months. This is the umpire you got back there. He just out of instinct. He could have asked him 10,000 times, what are you going to do before the game? Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. As soon as that ball whizzed past Utley's head, he chucked him because it was an instinct, because the guy is not Major League ready to do a game of that proportion.
Yeah,
you know
I think...
Because games like that don't come around that often for little shit people. Some shitheads like that said, oh, I'm in a big major league game now. I have to umpire. Okay, let me tell you something else. If you don't think that I'm right, this is all of America. I'm not talking to any, you know, because I know most of you agree with me. But whatever. If you don't think that I'm right, post this question to Joe Torre on a tweet. Hey, Joe, do you ever fucking go over the umpire's plan of action in case something like that happens? And why is a guy like that behind home plate?
Well, I agree with you. Ron, I agree with you.
Dad, hold on. Stop talking for a second.
I agree with you. You know, it was funny. When he got thrown out, he didn't even point it. You know how they point at the pitcher and then throw him out? He just flipped his hand.
Yeah, he just threw him out.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, going back to what you said about, he pulled the short Estes sort of move. I agree with you that he didn't hit him. Because if he would have hit him with that pitch, he would have been dead.
It's true. It was coming 99.
So why didn't he hit him, damn it?
That ball was in the mid-100s ascending.
No, Dad.
If you notice that pitch,
170 miles.
And if he was going to miss him, it started low, and that thing was moving. If that thing would have caught him between the fucking eyes, he was,
Dad.
Another Anthony Perkins.
Dad.
Okay?
Dad.
He strikes out.
Dad.
Okay?
Dad. Shut up.
Ronnie's right. Though the way he just described Syndergaard, he described him like Casey from Twilight.
Yeah.
He's throwing the mid-hundreds.
150-mile-an-hour pitch he just threw out there. No, the pitch was 98, and I guess he Sean Estes'd him in this. Well, he did because he missed him.
No, but here's the thing. I think it's actually different. I think Sean Estes actually tried to hit Clemens and missed.
Okay.
I think Noah Syndergaard was not actually trying to hit Utley. I think
Boy,
he was trying to send
Sean
him.
Sean Estes.
Boy.
What a fucking bum.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I remember those years like it was going out of style with Sean Estes. They hung on to him for 3 fucking years.
I don't think anybody heard Ronnie's call, by the way. I think I don't know what's going on.
I
don't either.
Our listeners, if we had some dead air.
I follow Noah Syndergaard on Twitter, and he wrote this. He says, I'm fresh. Can be available from Penn. Just saying. For today.
The boy's nasty.
Bring him.
Dirty.
Bring the boy. Bring the boy in. And
who's pitching today? Is it Bart?
It's Barty.
Bart. Yeah. Kershaw. Get your tickets.
Today's 86 ring day.
It is. Yeah.
What time is it? 7?
It's 8. It's an ESPN affair.
Well, I would go to the game, but I'm going to Ruben's record release party tonight. He started his own record company, Floor Door Records, with Jason Anthony Harris, who is public speaking, and a bunch of other bands. It's going to be a bunch of dead people, public speaking, and My Love Megahertz at Come On Everybody on Bedford and Nostrand off the G train. Right off the G train. Come out. I think it's $10. Really, really great music. And, you know, if I'm saying it's really great, it's testament. It's biblical.
Who's going to be there? Can you list that again?
A Bunch of Dead People. That's Ruben's band.
Oh, okay.
My Love Megahertz, which is Alan Pichardo on some electronic wizardry. And Public Speaking is playing Jason Anthony Harris on some unbelievable noise drone beauty. So come on out.
And yes, it's $10.
It's $10.
And
you get some free swag.
And when you're there, yeah, you can download the music as well.
Download some music. You might get a t-shirt. You might get hit in the face with one of Ruben's shoes. It's going to be fun. Well, he doesn't wear shoes on stage. You might get hit with a suit. He might take a suit off at you.
Oh, so he does like the Henry Rollins thing?
Yeah. His live performance is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
Like, I'm excited to see him again.
Yeah. So let's go to Manchester United for a moment. They hire Mourinho.
Yep.
Zlatan's on his way.
Well.
He's on his way. They're holding up the contract talks till Mourinho and him have a discussion, I think. But now I read today that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is switching clubs.
Who's the biggest Aubameyang guy you know?
You.
Oh, yeah.
I love Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I just think.
Phenomenal.
And I'm not going to take anything away from the guy because he's great. But he's playing in the Bundesliga, which has 4 really good teams. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, but...
And you come to the Premier... It's a whole different world in the Premier League. Look at Angel Di Maria. He couldn't hack it. He couldn't hack it. Goes to PSG, scores 6,000 goals. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't hack it over here. There are guys it just doesn't work for. We re-signed Rashford today as well for $20,000 a week.
What's he doing his injury? Is he still hurt?
It's not. No, he played. He played against the Socceroos of Australia and scored a goal in the third minute. Boy, that man, that young boy.
Is that just kangaroos dressed up in soccer uniforms?
Essentially. The Socceroos are real garbage, but that's okay.
No, Justin's he's a Premier League fan.
You're a big Premier League guy?
He's a Stoke City fan, so...
If you saw my face,
he just made
like
a Joe
face. It's like I took a shit on myself. Sorry, how could you be a Stoke? I don't know. Let me just ask why. Are you aware? Okay.
They're partners with Orlando.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been fans since 2012.
Okay. All right.
That's the NYC Manchester connection.
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I hate Manchester City, so I can't do anything about that. I know you're a gunner, an idiot, but that's okay.
We all have
our own problems.
Mourinho, does he make the team better? Because I think sometimes with coaches,
God, it's like a tropical desert in here.
Man, alcohol is seeping.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Does he make the team better?
Yeah.
No. He doesn't make the team better. I think he makes the future better.
Some coaches can have a good effect on a team, right? All, makes them better.
All of the English coaches that or former players of Manchester United as well, they hate this guy.
Yep.
They don't.
He's a prick.
Well, he is okay. He's a prick.
Yeah, but
maybe you need a prick.
Well, man wins. Yeah, you kind of do.
Maybe you need a prick now. And
Giggs doesn't like him.
Giggs is gone.
Yeah,
Giggs will be gone.
No, I know that.
I guess that's the reason why Giggs doesn't like him, because he's going to be gone.
Giggity.
Would I have given the job to Giggs? No, just because of the pressure that he would be under at the moment.
Yep.
If Mourinho fails, Mourinho will be out in this season. It'll be one season and he'll be gone.
I don't know. That's a big name to give one season to.
Well, they gave David Moyes one season, and Moyes was turning the team around.
Is he a sir?
No, I don't think so. I think you're thinking of Sir David Frost.
That must be it.
But Mourinho, will he turn the team around right away? No, I do see them qualifying for the Champions League. I do see them finishing in fourth, third or fourth in that area. But you're going to look at a team next year. I think it's Liverpool's season. I think Liverpool, they're going to bring in some real German fellas over there. Klopp understands what he's doing.
He's great.
He wants Balotelli back from Roma. And they're going to just go and take over. I think Leicester City, it was clearly a fluke. It was 1 year. It's never going to happen again.
But do you think with the momentum, can they
buy players?
Can they get some more players there?
Now? Sure.
Yeah. But they already lost one. They already lost Kramerich to Hoffenheim. They lost him. He was a big part of the right midfield. So I don't know if they're going to – they're going to lose Riyad Mahrez, I think. I think they're going to lose Mahrez to us, hopefully. I want Riyad Mahrez terribly. Let them continue with that little cockroach crackhead Jamie Vardy. That's fine. I don't believe in Jamie Vardy. He's fast.
What don't you believe about him?
I don't think he's a great striker. He's not like Harry Kane. He's not a Harry Kane. Vardy's fast. That's what he's got on every... He's maybe the fastest guy in the league next to Saudi Omane. Maybe.
He's got the numbers.
He's got numbers. But when you're playing that style of football, which is a real... attacking football.
Yeah.
God, I forget the name of the coach already. God damn it. Linda.
From where?
Leicester City. Oh my God. I forgot his name. Claudio Ranieri, thank you.
Yeah.
Claudio Ranieri, the guy likes to world travel. He's been on 14 teams in like 17 years. The guy likes to travel. He always plays an attacking style of football. That's how Chelsea won the title. He always plays an attacking style of football.
You're saying this like it's a bad thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it like it's – but when you have the right guy in the system. How come Leicester City was garbage the year before? They weren't playing the same style of football. Also, Riyad Mahrez hadn't come up just yet. And they didn't have Kasper Schmeichel. Schmeichel is a big, big, big thing.
And one of the greatest names.
His father was our goalkeeper for many years in the early 90s, Peter Schmeichel. Who was fantastic goalkeeper. But what do I want to see? I want to see attack. I want to see Rooney drop into the midfield as a center attacking midfielder and then maybe play a 4-3-3 with Rashford on the wing, Martial on the wing, and Ibrahimovic as your striker.
Yeah, and that Rooney's, is just Rooney's striking days are
yeah
they're behind him.
He knows that, and he's okay with it. But he's got to take a pay cut too. Yeah,
that's not gonna happen.
Mourinho really wants Benzema.
I know.
And yesterday, Benzema and Sal he wants to say
he wants Sal from Atletico too.
Yeah,
I saw
I like
that
Kareem
too.
Benzema. You don't like Benzema?
Oh, I like Benzema.
No,
oh
my, yeah.
How do you not like Benzema? How do you not like Benzema? I don't understand.
I think Benzema takes bad shots. I think he takes bad shots. I think on a team with Ronaldo and Bale. You can take bad shots. That's why it's not.
Pick up that slack.
It's not publicized. But Benzema takes some really bad shots.
Benzema's the Russell Westbrook.
The whistle.
Yeah. No. But when he does it beautifully.
No. Okay. And I don't know if anybody watched the Champions League final yesterday.
That was a good game.
Wow. Penalties.
I didn't watch
it. It ended on penalties. It was great. What a finish. Real proved that. It's all about Cristiano Ronaldo.
And then he took off his shirt.
And then he took off his shirt, and we all gasped a little bit.
Because you guys want me to take off my shirt now? I'll
gasp a lot. How does a man have that body? It's like he's like a stone person. He's a man made of stone. I miss Cristiano Ronaldo. I miss the days of Ronaldo.
You look back on that. It's like it wasn't even real.
No.
That's like a video game.
It was 4 years of the greatest. Ronaldo, Tevez, Rooney, and Van Nistelrooy. I mean, you're going to score 20 goals a game. That was the team.
What did they sell him for?
I don't think it was a lot of money. I don't think it was as much as... Because Bale was the highest transfer ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was $100 million for Bale.
And that was a year or two ago?
Three or four.
Where's Bale now?
Real.
Oh, he is on Real.
He's on Real. Right. He started with Tottenham.
Right, Tottenham.
And that afforded them to get... to scout Dele Alli and Harry Kane and all those guys as well. But to me, I throw a lot of shade on Harry Kane. I really do. And I don't want him for United just because I don't think he fits into the system well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pochettino has a great system out there that Harry Kane, just shoot the fucking ball from wherever the fuck you want. You couldn't do that with Louis van Gaal. Do you notice how Manchester United before Louis van Gaal took shots from everywhere? And it was only inside the 6-yard box that they were moving in for shots. Juan Mata is a fucking sniper. Let the man shoot. Let him shoot. Just let the guy shoot.
How old is Mata? 28? He's only
28. 28, 29?
The guy looks like he's like 47.
I know. He's got an old face.
He does.
He's got a really old face. Wayne Rooney's, what, 31 now or 30?
No, I think he's like 29 or 30.
Like yeah, 30, 31. That's the two numbers I just
No, listed. But you were like on the upper end.
Well, because my voice went higher?
30.
30.
He's a good 30.
He's a good 30.
A solid 30.
Yeah. Ronaldo went to Real for 94 mil.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That's a lot of money.
That's a little bit of money.
That's a little bit of money.
That's about what we make to do this show, if anybody's wondering.
If anybody wants to know our tax returns, 718-395-3731.
We should go a little Yankees.
Oh, let's go a little Yankees.
Go a little Yankees.
Let's talk about the old Yankees.
Those who are listening out there.
Any Yankee fans out there, don't call in. Boy, they suck, huh?
Beltran left yesterday with a back ailment.
No, Uncle Carlos
again?
Back.
And Tex is hopefully going to start showing up maybe tomorrow.
He's got to find his dentures. He lost his dentures in the water glass.
They've been replaying the same story for like 8 years with Teixeira.
How about a pitcher? How about you get a pitcher? Hey, listen, Evaldi's been good.
Son of a bitch. Today he's pitching. I'm looking at his numbers right now.
Fuckhead, I released
54
him.
54 and two-thirds. He's got an ERA of 3.95. He's got 50 strikeouts in 54 innings.
That's pretty great.
You know what?
I was right. It was going to take a little while,
though. He's the most hittable pitcher in baseball.
Next to Joe Smith.
But he is next to Matt Harvey.
Next to Matt Harvey, yeah.
But he's figuring it out. And, you know.
Well, I guess good for him. Damn it, I released that fuck, though, from my fantasy team. I did pick up Michael Fulmer, though.
Oh, yeah. Fulmer's the real deal.
He's the realest deal.
That's how you get a Cespedes.
He's the realest deal. So
we needed a Cespedes.
We needed a Cespedes over a Fulmer. But right now, I'd take a Fulmer, too.
I think the Cespedes trade is like the Kennedy assassination. Like, you remember where you were when it happened.
Yeah.
You know? I was in a movie theater. I was seeing some terrible movie by myself. And
I was going to say, I wasn't born yet.
No, well, I was around for Kennedy.
Cespedes.
No, I know, I was...
He's referencing Kennedy. You're hungover.
It's okay.
So are we. but anyway, so I was in a movie theater, and what time's the trade deadline? 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
Four o'clock. and it's like 3:30.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm refreshing the feed. And then one of you guys texted me and said the Mets got Cespedes. I was like, get
it. That's not gonna happen.
And then I was like, oh my god, who do we give up? I'm thinking we gave up the farm.
Yeah.
And you know, it turns out we might have in Fulmer. We knew how good he was going to be, but where were you when Cespedes became a Met?
I think we were walking down the street, you and I.
Yeah.
And I
were we going to the mall?
Yeah, we were going to the mall, Queen Center. And I saw breaking news, Mets trade for Yonis Cespedes, and I screamed out loud.
And then I think he tried to call you. I don't know if it was you or your dad.
I called everybody I could.
Yeah.
I called everybody I could. And we also did the same thing with the Syndergaard trade.
Oh, yeah.
We knew what that was going to be.
Well, Syndergaard, remember, Syndergaard was really not...
The throw-in piece.
Syndergaard was the throw-in piece. That was the Travis d'Arnaud trade.
I mean...
And the thing that held it up they were trying to find another player. I think the Mets played that perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll take this guy.
Yeah.
Syndergaard off your hands.
You got to build a shrine to thievery for Sandy Alderson. This man's a thief.
Yep.
Goes to the Giants.
Yep.
Well, and he traded Beltran for Wheeler.
Wheeler.
Which the jury's out, right?
Like, we're still waiting a little bit. We're still waiting a little bit on that.
He's not going to pitch until after July 1st.
Okay.
He's well over a month away to get there. Like, he's just throwing off the mound now, like 20 pitches. He's not going to be there until at least August.
But... You know, to go back to the Yankees, because they're the other New York team, we should give them some time.
Yeah.
They've turned it around. They had two games under 500. They're playing much better than they were. They still have no pitching, which will continue.
Chapman has been...
Unbelievable.
Chapman has been unbelievable.
I tell you, that team in a short series, if they're not going to make the playoffs. If they did, and they get five or six innings from their starter that are okay, that game's over.
What did I tell you at the beginning of the year? The Boston Red Sox will take this division handily.
Yeah.
Well, they're
David Ortiz, man.
What is happening with this man?
No,
I'm so. And if Ashton, if you're listening, I'm sorry I didn't pick him up when you wanted me to. He was out there on the free agent wire, and I didn't pick him up. I didn't pick him up. I didn't think he was gonna. Come on, who fought 17,000 home runs in a week?
And he said he's not. He will not play after this season.
No
matter how well he does.
He knows this is it.
And that's also a great career coming to an end.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fantastic career. Yeah. Also, Albert Pujols, I think, moved into 12th all-time on the home run list the other day. He hit his 570th.
A lot of people hate him, and I just don't get it.
How could you?
You don't like him.
No,
right?
No, I like him.
I think he's the best hitter of our generation.
Well, I think the listeners
need to
know
Miguel Cabrera,
Steve's
too.
Favorite all-time baseball player is.
Tell me, Steve.
His favorite Met. Daryl Siciliani.
Oh.
I know you like that guy, Steve.
You a big fan of Daryl Siciliani, Steve? That guy's delivering pizzas now at Belladonna in Maspeth. You just think about the names this team has had.
Oh,
and it wrenches your gut. You know, you get so upset with this fucking organization that, you know why you couldn't win for 30 fucking years? Because you had Joe McEwing hitting eighth.
And Colin Cowgill hitting leadoff.
Oh, my God.
Remember when Colin Cowgill's first game as a Met, he hit a grand slam opening day?
Yeah.
And then never did anything again after.
Mets think they've pinpointed Matt Harvey's issue.
Yeah, he
sucks. Oh, great.
They could have just called in. I could have told Matt.
The mechanical flaw that flares up as he pitches when people into on the base. Game.
Yeah.
When he throws it right down the middle, they tend to take advantage.
But also, what I've noticed about the guy is he's dropping his arm when he throws the change.
Well,
do you notice that now?
The guy
drops his arm.
Ron Darling says what he does. Usually, when you throw, when you hold the ball, you sort of have your hand pointed to second base.
Mm-hmm.
But he is curving his hand like this, where he's palming it towards his wrist as he's going back.
And that's a tell.
No, but he says, like Ron Darling said, I used to do that in my rookie years. Like, you know, it's like it's a bad habit, and it all of a sudden it can sail on you. It gives you less control, but it's like a weird tick that he said he used to do. And like Harvey's like still doing that. So like,
and look, what I think Harvey is right now is he's unbelievably talented. We all know that, right? He's got the talent, but it's like, you know, you're an actor and you know you get two shows. You can nail those two shows. Can you do eight shows a week though? You know, so Harvey's at that point in his career where he's really got to start learning his craft. His talent has got him to this point, but now he's got to put in the work.
You see,
it's no more Yankee games for him. No more models. No more. You got to focus. You got to go the Porzingis route. Move in with your parents.
You see, my deal with the two guys, Syndergaard and DeGrom, is they only know baseball. They only love baseball. They only want to get better at baseball, and it's 'cause they're both from shit splat corn pone land. You know.
Matt Harvey's from where?
Texas.
Florida?
No, Ashland, Texas.
Texas. Yeah,
and I don't know Texas where DeGrom is.
DeGrom's from Florida.
DeGrom's from Florida. Okay. And Matt Harvey's from Mystic, Connecticut. Oh, the Mystic Harveys. Oh, very good. The Susquehanna Harveys. Very nice. Very nice. Old money Harvey. Good.
Have you never stayed at the Howard Johnson in Mystic, Connecticut?
I once dated Howard Johnson in Mystic, Connecticut. But I'm telling you, once you get rid of all the distraction, and Porzingis did it because, I mean, that's got to be scary as an 18, 19-year-old kid coming to America. Yeah. That's got to be just fucking scary. That he gets a pass on just getting acclimated to culture. But Matt Harvey is fucking 3 hours away from Citi Field. You know what you have to do. Okay, where did he go to school? North Carolina, right? I think he pitched for North Carolina. Yeah,
maybe.
I'm getting a yes. Yeah. He pitched in North Carolina, okay? And he said his sophomore year he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I buried my head in baseball and figured it out. So why don't you do that now? This is not North Carolina anymore. It's Durham.
But that's the point. You just made the point. It's very hard in New York to bury your head and focus on baseball.
But the great ones do.
I get what you're saying. I'm pointing it out that if he was in, if he was a Montreal Expo, if he was a Texas Ranger, this is a lot easier to figure out. You don't have 700 reporters in your locker. Not making excuses because he's got to do something. But what you're saying is, what we're both saying is, I don't want to see you at the Rangers games. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you doing those things.
I want to see you pitch.
Yep.
And that's it. I see you every fifth day.
And I don't want to hear people telling me that he's doing it.
Yeah.
I want to see him do it. I don't want to see Dan Worthen selling me Matt Harvey's work ethic or Terry. Nobody works harder than this guy. Come on, Terry.
I'm really starting to believe Terry Collins hates this guy. Yeah. I'm really like the, just the way
right. I think
you're right. Terry, because he showed him up in the fucking World Series one, and then two. I mean, you just look at the press conferences and you look at Terry's body language when they cut to him when he's pitching, and it's just like this fucking asshole.
Well, he also like shades away from the press right now. He's like he's all like fucked up and like not even saying anything.
What do you mean shies away from the press? You mean he just walked out of a locker room? He didn't shy away. He copped out.
He's being a bitch.
Yes, that's what he's being.
Well, when I ask Terry Collins a question that he doesn't want to give an answer to, he'll always say, "I don't know," and then insert name. So Terry, you think Matt Harvey's?
I don't know, Bill.
I don't know, Bill. You got to talk to him about that.
Yeah, which is a great.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But I also just need to see Matt Harvey care. It just seems like the guy doesn't care. He's making $4 million, right, this year? Something like that?
I think he's making more than that.
I think he's like making like $6 or $7 million because of the arbitration, right?
Okay, fine. You're stealing the money right now. You're stealing our money. You're stealing the team's money. And I want them to make sure that if this guy is going south, you don't pay him one red fucking cent next year. You let him go to the Rangers Yankees. Or the Yankees or whatever, or whoever wants to pay him $20 million a year to figure it out.
I will consistently say Matt Harvey is the ex-girlfriend I don't want to see with anybody else. I don't want her, but I don't want to see her with anyone else. And that's what I feel about Matt Harvey. I don't necessarily want him, but God, I don't want to see him as a Yankee.
I want Matt Harvey to be a country whore. I want him to go out to every picnic and carnival and blow.
Let's be clear. The best case scenario is for him
to figure it out
and win the World Series.
I'm rooting for Matt Harvey. You're not.
No,
you're not.
I don't like him anymore.
He's thieving me.
I've had this argument with Joe.
I don't want to see my team lose. I want to see him give up 5 runs and then we score 6.
God comes to you and goes, Joseph, I'm sorry about everything else, but I have a question for you. If Game 7 World Series, do you want to see Matt Harvey get blown up and the Mets lose, or do you want to see him pitch a perfect game?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, sir, you don't exist. Don't come near me, oh, crazy man. And then I'll say, I don't care about this person. This person is not my team. This person is not my team.
Answer the question, son.
Of course I want to see him pitch great.
Okay.
Of course I want to see the guy pitch great.
Just clarifying.
But I don't think he can anymore. That's what I'm saying. There's something, it's beyond mechanics.
I told you, but
you can't take his arm into the shop and get it
fixed.
Steve
Traxel can figure it out. Why can't Matt Harvey?
Steve Traxel was also like 38 when he figured it out.
They're saying he's become predictable. Like he does the same sequence every time. That's why by the second at bat for any batter, they're going to know exactly what's coming at them.
Well, what's the difference between Matt Harvey and Mike Pelfrey right now? Answer that fucking question. I think Mike Pelfrey got more wins.
All that and more in this episode of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got 5 minutes left. Let's do If I Were a Betting Man this week.
If I were a betting man, I go Golden State. Golden State moves on, and they're going to win. They're going to take game one against the Cavs.
Is that would that man. Be next week?
Yeah.
They'll yeah, definitely be.
Or they would wait till the weekend. Like, wait till the weekend?
Is, come on. This
I think it starts like the June. NBA, I hate
NBA
yet.
Playoffs
the worst.
Is ridiculous.
It's the worst. 6 months. Come on. 6 months playoffs.
It takes
you can have a kid.
No, but I think because they'll play on Monday, right? And then I think it starts like a couple days after
Thursday
that.
Or Friday.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good prediction. I think that it's a much tougher series this time around if the Golden State Warriors win. I think, but if the Thunder win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it's going to be a close final. I think it's going to be very boring.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. I just don't agree.
I think it'll be better than you think it would be.
I agree.
I think it'll be better. I don't think the Thunder would win it. I think it would go six.
But if Kyrie goes on an offensive explosion with the way LeBron does everything,
big if.
You're done. He's a very great offensive player.
No, I understand that.
Not great defensive player. No. But I'm saying like if he does the flurry of like if he scores like 35, 40 points and like LeBron fills up the stat sheet, I don't even think it's gonna be close.
Oh wait, you're saying you think the Cavs are gonna roll through?
No, if it's the Thunder, they're gonna roll through.
Got it. Okay.
I think if it's the Warriors, it's gonna be a much closer, much more interesting series.
I mean, I would like to see Cavs Warriors. I would like to see Cavs Thunder too. There's something about both of those matchups I like, but I think the Cavs this year are better just because Kevin Love's not a whiny little girl anymore. Well, he's still a whiny little girl.
Yeah,
but, I mean, stop stepping on a ref's foot. I mean, that's your fault. I mean, Melo didn't complain when he rolled his ankle on the ref.
Who was it that used to untie the shoelaces?
Lance Stephenson.
Yeah. And then blow in people's
no,
ears.
No, it was J.R. Smith.
No, well.
Well, Lance Stephenson did it too.
Yeah, Lance Stephenson.
J.R. Smith got fined for that.
Lance
Stephenson would blow.
All right, so if I were a betting man, Todd Frazier hits two home runs off Matt Harvey.
Oh.
Okay.
No way.
You don't think so?
No way.
Two home runs.
No way. I'm going to go.
White Sox are real, man.
Oh, I agree. But I'm going to go real nuts here.
Okay.
I'm going to go Steve McGrath nuts.
Uh-oh.
Harvey, even I'm not going that. No.
Harvey. Seven innings.
Yeah.
2.5 runs.
Oh. Harvey, is there over five dimes over here?
7 innings, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts, gets a win. Against the White Sox.
God. I really think Todd Frazier's going to hit two home runs off Matt. Todd Frazier got like 16 home runs this year.
Down goes Frazier.
He's the only one that has more home runs than Cespedes.
I think he's hitting 205, though, Todd Frazier. Something ridiculous. All right, we got a minute and a half left.
I just want to say, was at the pay-per-view last week for those of you who watched the wrestling. Seth Rollins returned. Wrestling is going to get great again. Cena's back on Monday. Right. We're looking forward to this.
All right, Donald Trump.
Yep.
All right, so we got a minute left. We're not going to just walk out here just yet. We're going to keep bantering because I think we covered everything, though. But I want to give
and
an
nobody
extra...
call with any more nicknames. So the Ron Dong book is still up for grabs.
Yeah, you figure that out.
I'm just going to call myself Big Sexy Junior and read the book.
You can't give yourself your own nickname.
No,
I can do whatever the
works.
Fuck I want. Hey, I want to give a special shout out to my buddy Ryan Gordy, who was diagnosed with leukemia last week. We're pulling for you, man. We hope everything turns out well. If you know Ryan, you know he's one of the nicest guys around, and I hope somebody will be a bone marrow match, or I don't know if it's even, because my blood type's not the same. I hope somebody's a bone marrow match. I hope you get better. We love you. We miss you, and I hope everything goes well. This has been Point of Order.